Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
I know. given back a love that's real. Ooh, I think I hear echo, but all is well. Yes, that was Esther Nicholson. I believe this belongs to you. To find out more about her, her website address is esternicholson.com. esternicholson.com.
Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired, and you make a difference because you are available, you are receptive to what wants to be expressed. And by saying yes, you can help but make a difference. And it's that perfect time to continue making a difference with Ancestral Blueprints with my co-producer, Lisa Iverson, and yours truly, Life Coach Ade. Thank you for being here. Thank you for tuning in. Those of you online, those of you listening to the archive, thank you, thank you. Tina Marie is in the house, 444. Where? It's so nice to see you. Tamara Joy, silent listeners. Earthworm, you've been doing some teaching on your wall lately. You starting something. Going to be starting something. Don't do it. And those of you that we can't see, thank you all for being here. Thank you for showing up. Let me bring on Lisa. Lisa's going to give us an announcement, but I want to just bring on my co-producer, my guide, my friend. Hey, Lisa, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Happy to be here and looking forward to our conversation today.
Yes, it should be good. By the time we finish, we should all be flying, right? Literally.
Well, we'll find out. We will find out.
I know, that's right. You said, hey, calm down. We'll see. Be open for everything and expect nothing. Okay, I got it. let's do a quick announcement, and we'll continue the conversation. I love it when I have people in my life who can keep me grounded, speaking of flies. Like, well, slow down, rabbit. I'm an Aries. I like to just, like, you know, a friend of mine once said to me, you know, you're the type where if we say we're going somewhere and you just run down the block, and then halfway down the block, you're like, where are we going again? What's the address? Hey, you know, I make it up as I go because I can create my reality. Hey, Celeste.
Hello.
Oh, hey, baby. Closer.
Still not that love coming in. Hello, Lisa. Hello, Life Coach today. I do have some announcements for you. My first announcement is, it's somebody's birthday coming up tomorrow. One of our regular listeners, Sweet Tea from D.C., Tanya, is celebrating a birthday.
Ooh.
I know if I say her age, she's going to come through that phone.
No, she won't.
She's
proud of
Tanya.
Who she is. She's earned every part of the life, and she's spiritually mature. So the numbers kind of let you know how long she's been on this planet. But she's an old soul. You know she is. So she ain't going to trip about her age. So happy birthday, my dear sister friend. I love and appreciate you. I love how you show up in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me get to these announcements so that you guys can have a wonderful conversation. I'm ready to hear about the meaning of freedom. So, hello, family. Welcome to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today. It's Celeste here, and I'll be keeping you informed of the happenings going on with LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find Life Coach Today and Lisa Iverson on the last Wednesday of every month. But today they are ending at a different time, which will be 1 p.m. So if you want to get in on this conversation, call early. Now, if you happen to miss them live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today and Lisa can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, you can find Life Coach Today on another network on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern. Check out Soul Food for Your Consciousness on 12radio.com. And we also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Tomorrow, be sure to join Ambassa Safira for the Play Experience, where you learn how to passionately love and appreciate you every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then join me on The Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan at 8 p.m. on Sundays, where we play with numerology and tarot. Now, on this upcoming Monday, Life Coach Today has psychic extraordinaire, Reverend June Gatlin, spiritual advisor to the stars, and she'll also be reading for you as well on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show at 12 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you call in early for that. And then Tuesday's nights is where you learn about living in the yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson at 9 p.m. Eastern. She will be talking about the power of release. So get ready to let go when you join her for her powerful gift of channeling spoken word and spiritual truth you can use. The Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Finally, we are not doing a celestial moment today, but let me take this time to tell you that we do have a new moon coming up, and 2 is the number running today, and that's the High Priestess in Tarot, who reminds us to trust our inner voice, go within or go without. Listen to her deeply and tap into your limitless power. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Celeste. Appreciate you. We go within or go without. Yes, thank you. It is time for Ancestral Blueprint. And my co-host is Lisa Iverson. She is the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truths in America's Soul. And you can find out more about her work by going to, where again? LisaIverson.com. I knew that. I just needed to wait for it. LisaIverson.com. You can find out more about her work. And the Ancestral Blueprints is every last Wednesday of the month. And today we are talking about being free, the meaning of freedom. And if you don't understand what freedom is, you may be dumb. Okay, cheesy, but we want to enlighten. We want to soften ourselves up. We just want to grow through the process of life. And Lisa, what do you think? I'm feeling led to read a description first before we jump in.
I think that'd be great. Thanks so much for reading it. Yep.
You're very welcome. I will just start here. The month of June brings us the beginning of summer with the summer solstice. It is also a month of freedom with the ending of slavery in America on Juneteenth and also the start of the gay liberation movement with Stonewall riots. June is a good month. Okay, let's keep going. I'm scrolling down here. How we define freedom in our day and the time is different than our ancestors, and yet there is a connection between our ancestors' relationship with freedom and our relationship with freedom. We can learn much as we consider what freedom means through the eyes of our ancestors and the path they took to sustain it. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade for a powerful conversation about breaking strongholds that would keep us from feeling limited and tap into our limitless potential as we consider those who came before us. Let that sink in. So, anything you want to say about that? And I also, once again, I do this, and I have a sense that you don't mind doing it, which is good. I don't know if you want to say anything about the description, Lisa, but I think, once again, it's a good idea to lay the foundation for what we are talking about when we say ancestral blueprints.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Thank you. I'm just also just really feeling the topic that we're talking about, and you know, just the relationship. Before I speak about what ancestral blueprints refers to, just with respect to what you just read, I'm really feeling the invitation to see how it is that we relate as individuals in the here and now to these bigger collective histories that have happened before us. So I just bow down to the topic that's with us today, and what a big topic it is, and just really trust that whatever conversation, however it is that we interact with the topic while we're together today, will be just the right conversation to have.
Yes, yes.
Yep. So I'm just feeling that as I sit also with the experience of hearing you read what our focus is. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Ancestral blueprints is the phrase that came to me many years ago prior to when I was writing this book. And it's inspired by the work that I do with family constellations, with systemic constellations. That's an approach that was developed in Germany about 30 years ago. And it's primarily a group approach, but it's adapted for work with individuals as well. But it's a way of working with our experience of life and family and ancestry for us to see in a really experiential way how much what we experience in our lives today is in deep, deep connection, influenced by our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our aunts, our uncles, the larger web of family. So the constellation approach, it's an experiential way of seeing how these truths that have often been unacknowledged in family life, particularly around all that's happened, all that didn't happen, things that maybe left confusion about where parents and children belong with each other. It helps us to remember that everybody does belong. And and it helps us to see that truth is often simply waiting to be acknowledged. I've been in the last 3 days, been in a 3-day circle, teaching circle with this work, and the phrase that came to me this weekend was simply that truth waits. Truth is persistent and patient, and it waits. If it's not acknowledged, it's going to keep waiting. Just keep waiting to be acknowledged. And so often in family life and our ancestries, this has been for generations, that truth has been waiting to be acknowledged. And so so ancestral blueprints is the image of all of our generations that came before us, all the ones that come after us, and where we belong in that map. And the idea that that map is in us and we are in it. And so that's today's little short description, little thumbnail sketch. Of what the context is, for our conversation.
One of the things that I love about when we have this show, well, one thing is, you know, you going through that definition again, I feel like I get to experience it differently. And, you know, because every month is different. So, of course, and then the other thing about the show is it feels to me like I go all month doing the work, going out there and doing what I do in my personal life and my professional life, just getting all together, dealing with people, dealing with myself. Like, I don't want to be with that person. That person gets on my nerves. I get on my nerves. Let me just go sleep. And then the last Wednesday of the month, it's like I come back into this retreat space to listen to the elders, to listen to my ancestors and get, like, replenished. Because when you said truth is patience, it's patient and persistent, oh, I felt that through my body. You know, it will wait. And that's need to be just digested, to be just, you know, to just kind of let it do what it needs to do in the body, the idea that truth. And for me, you know, because the way I'm a thinker, we can say, someone might say, is that a spiritual truth or is that whatever you call truth, that's the way I see it. You know, you may see it differently, Lisa, but for me it's like what that means is that whatever we'll call truth will wait to be seen. Whatever is true about our family, whatever is true about our ancestors, whatever is true about what runs in the family soul that has a big acknowledge but being avoided, when one person is willing to be receptive enough to that truth, it will just kind of go, hello, I've been waiting. Thank you for letting me out. So let me just throw it back to you. Truth, when you say truth, what do you mean?
Well, it's not a subjective kind of a thing. When I'm talking about truth, I'm in a context of that's really deeply rooted in facts.
Mm.
The kind of facts that in family life, for example, you know, again, these big topics, like this topic about
yes.
freedom,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are some big facts and truths about the facts of our history, both in family life, these larger landscapes, mm-hmm. that we may know the facts in our head, but the truth in the soul and the truth in the body has not yet been acknowledged. So, mm-hmm. for example, with Juneteenth, you know, this echo of that, you know, that this history around the ending of slavery and all that happened in that mm-hmm. part of our history. We can know some facts, but there's some truths in relationship to the facts that have not yet been processed. So I think that's all I can say about that right now. You know?
I hear you. Yeah. Let's move into the theme topic, because as I read about Juneteenth, I think of, as you said, on the soul level, you know, well, the facts, the information is, okay, it was a, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation was 1863, but it didn't, you know, Texas didn't get it until 1865. And even still, 1865, it wasn't like people were really free on paper, maybe. And then when we look at Stonewall Riot in 1960, which is actually it was June 28th, right? June 28th, 1960? Yeah. And how people were, I don't even want to say criminalized. It's a little bit more than that, but I just stay there, criminalized for who they are because of their sexual orientation. Slavery people were criminalized. And there's a lot more than that, but that seems like a surface place to stay for now, for their race, for their culture, for what they look like. And And for me, I can see in this world the issues of homosexuality is big right now. The issue of racism is big in a different kind of way. It's for me, it seems like there is this, oh, well, we've gotten through that now. I'm colorblind, whatever that means. But put something on social media that highlights racism and everybody's a professor. Sexual orientation, you know, the evidence is against God's will and all this stuff. So it's like even though there's been a lot of liberation movement organizations, I wonder if we really understand freedom. So I'm going to start there, and I'm just want you to share whatever's coming up for you, and then maybe even share freedom from the perspective of family constellations. Or feel free to go wherever you want to go, because we're doing it together.
Yeah. Well, with respect to these examples, you know, to Juneteenth and slavery, the Stonewall riots, and freedom, the place that I want to enter into the what we're talking about is, you know, what I've seen quite a lot is how a descendant of ancestors who experienced an oppression of some kind. So these are examples. These are big examples of kinds of oppression. Mm-hmm. So it can be quite common for descendants to actually have some challenge to live freely out of a kind of a guilt for how much oppression their ancestors experienced. Mm-hmm. There can be kind of a mixed bag. There can be kind of a mixed combination of gratitude that their ancestors lived through whatever the experience was that they lived through, but also a kind of a burden of an impulse, sometimes it's conscious, sometimes unconscious, of trying to help these family members who have already lived through what they've experienced, but just out of the connectedness that we have with who and where we come from, there can be an impulse to kind of still be trying to help them carry whatever suffering they carried in the experience that prevents truly living freely in the present. Mm. So this is a really much more common thing that can then often gets acknowledged. In the movement, this is a kind of an example of a kind of a blind love. And the movement that wants to happen from the soul is a movement from a blind love to an awake love, where descendants, where we can look back at whatever suffering or oppression our ancestors experienced and say to them, basically, thank you, just thank you, that through it all you were able to pass life on, or thank you that I remember your place of belonging in our family web, and you're the best one to be in that place, not me. I'm the best one to be in my place where I belong, and you're the best one, you're the only one who can be in your place of belonging. These are the kind of movements, these are the kind of expressions from a soul perspective that promotes freedom. So freedom, in part, involves simply being where I belong in my own web of family that I come from. Because if I'm not in my place of belonging, I'm not simply free to live my life. If I'm trying to help somebody else carry whatever suffering they experienced, there's no freedom for anything. There's just simply no freedom for life itself, as me to express it. So those are the things that, as we're with this topic, these big topics, those are the things that just in this moment feel like want to be acknowledged.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints. Today's theme, today's topic is the meaning of freedom. What does it mean to you? Feel free to join the conversation. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. With your questions, you can call in, and if there's something you don't understand or you see differently or you've had an experience you want to share, 347-426-3346. You know, at the risk of repeating myself, and I will, so I'm going to risk it. Ancestral Blueprints, this show always brings me back to a deeper space. And, you know, when we talk about Ancestral Blueprints and family soul, often I'm usually thinking, well, actually, that's not true. But it's easy to focus on the individual and just the family. But as you were talking as well, I can see that, you know, individuals, family, we create a society, we create a country. So where a truth hasn't been acknowledged, it is fair to say that it gets played out individually. It gets played out in family, it gets played out in community, and it actually gets played out by a country. Isn't that so? Don't you? Would you say the same thing, Lisa?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Countries have their own own soul, if you will. You know, it begins with the individual, the family, but our countries are a part of the map. Yeah.
So let me ask you this crazy question. I asked a question that you share. If you were facilitating, oh, this is really crazy. It's getting even more juicy the more I listen. If you were facilitating family constellations for America, how would you go about it? I told you it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you ask the question, the first thing that comes to mind is, of course, all the diversity in our country and how big it is and how many people in it are in it and how much history there is in our country's soul that is in process of being acknowledged. So with that, there's the other question of who's America?
Okay.
Because this is one of the things actually that you know, there's actually quite a lot of conversation. There's quite a lot of media today that reflect that there's lots of different Americas. You know, there. This doesn't mean just one thing. You know, who you at, there's quite a lot of, there's not one picture, one story, one anything about what that means. You know, you pull that thread and the whole quilt unravels, you know.
Right.
You know, let's look at the history books, many history books that are used. We could go in a lot of different classrooms and look at the history books that are used in most schools. There's going to be a lot of histories, different histories taught through the eyes of whom, you know. So, it's a great big crazy question that we should all sit with. Yeah, there's a lot of different truths. There's a lot of different truths in process, and I like to have it be a present tense language because we're all in it together, and these tasks belong to all of us. about what the histories are that are being acknowledged, what the truths mm-hmm. are, haven't been and that really haven't been digested.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So many thoughts inspired in that statement or what you shared when you talk about who is America. And for me, I kind of find myself, if I'm in part of a group where there's a family constellation is going for America, you stand up and say, before we really go forward and really get deep, let's start here first. Who is America? Like, would the real America please stand up? Wait. Sit down. We were here before even that could cause all kind of stuff. But then I think of it that image seems like when we consider it, it becomes very big. But at the same time, there is a connection between us and everybody else. So it seems like when we talk about freedom, maybe the whole thing, at least, well, I don't know. It doesn't have to be the first thing, but part of that process, there you go, part of that process could be freeing or making room for the truth that has been waiting, that wants to be seen. And rather, as we always say on this show, rather than try and answer from the neck up, to let the answer rise up from the neck down. So with a question like, who's America, we all get to check in with ourselves and like, yeah. And I think even with that, that could unravel soul, like you said, the thread, you know, just break everything down. Like, okay, that's something we weren't thinking about. So I don't know. I've just thrown it over to you. I don't have a question. You just got me thinking now. I can't lay away. Let me go think. Let me just be with that. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, and I'm aware that this is just a related thing that I notice about this time, literal time, linear time right now where we're at. For those who are familiar with the astrological movement of Mercury, the planet of Mercury, being in retrograde, the planet changes directions for a few weeks. We're in that movement right now. This astrological movement really affects many things, including our communication systems, including our perspectives. It can be a challenging time for communication systems between people and with our electronics, these kinds of things. But it's a very supportive time for looking back and for reviewing and for reflecting and for pausing to look back a bit, for having further understanding of, okay, well, how did I get here? So mm-hmm. I just want to acknowledge this topic that we're with, this conversation that we're having is happening during this time of this Mercury, planet Mercury being in retrograde movement that supports and invites us to do exactly what we're doing, to look back a little bit. Mm. So, you know, for me, this is for each one in this conversation, for ones who listen to the show later, what happens if we all, if we look back at our American history a little bit, what do we see? So the impulse is not that we have to do anything. The impulse, the invitation is just to look and to see. What do we see when we look back? And to consider that there are aspects and there are people, there are events that we're also not seeing. None of us ever sees the whole picture.
Right.
But where are the places that our gaze goes to easily, and where are the places where it's harder to look?
Mm.
And just because we're not looking doesn't mean it's not there.
I know that's right. I know. Woo, Lord. Say that again.
just because we're not looking at who and where we come from, just because we're not looking at the history that's behind us, doesn't mean that it's not there. And, you know, really the invitation is to really be present as we look back and to notice what's the effect when I look back. Do I stay in my body? Do I become, when I look at certain pictures in the history behind me, does it promote me feeling calm, feeling anxious, feeling grateful, feeling angry, feeling scared, feeling numb? Do I feel completely in my head, in a disconnected, disembodied state? You know, these are all the kinds of things that, you know, in a constellation group, these are the kinds of things that we work with, that it's such a gift because we can see and experience in a group with other people that this task really does belong to all of us, and it requires all of us to be able to do these things, you know, to really reclaim our humanity. Yeah. So, the question about America and the question about freedom, you know, there are many freedoms available to some of us today that came at that have come at a really heavy, heavy price. And so this is a truth that really asks to be acknowledged more fully from more of us in our country, is my sense. You know, the freedoms that are with us today, who's paid the price? Mm-hmm. Who's paying the price? These kinds of questions. At what cost? You know? Yeah.
Yes. I just have this visual of a group of people, as I said, you know, you're facilitating family constellations for America and people from different walks of life in the room. And, you know, even the starting the first day, the first question is, whose Americas are we talking about? And then these questions that come up, that itself could take 3 days to unpack or the rest of our lives. And I love, because one of the things I'm going to bring Celeste on, we have a comment in the chat room, and it, you know, in the whole thing about we got to ask ourselves what happens when I look back. Am I numb? Am I excited? Am I feeling shame? You know, and I think for me, and I, you know, some of the things when people say, well, I'm colorblind, I understand, well, I think I understand what they mean underneath that statement. But for me, if anybody tells me that they're colorblind, I kind of look at it. Well, first I'm going to ask them, what does that mean? Because the idea of colorblind for me is a politically correct way to just avoid, because why is it when it comes to humans that you're colorblind, but people don't say they're colorblind when it comes to animals, when it comes to buying a house, when it comes to buying clothes, when it comes to food and the colors? People say, look at all the colors. Oh, it makes me want to eat. But when it comes to humans, black and white issues, I'm colorblind. What? You better put some color on. Put some rose-colored glasses on to start with. But anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lisa. You want to say something?
Well, no, just it's true. It's a it's a human defense mechanism from looking at truth.
Yes. Celeste.
Yes.
Celeste is coming to us from the world of the chat room. And what's going on out there in the world, Celeste?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, Earthheads responded indeed to one of your earlier comments. So very true. We haven't dealt with it all, and so it continues to show itself over and over, but it must start at the individual level. And there's more. I mean, the listeners are in tune with that inner work that needs to be done in order to really hear, if you can even see your ancestral blueprints or even view it in this way. I think there's so much healing that can happen for us in the present, which helps us redefine what freedom means. And also reclaim it for yourself, because I don't know too many people who don't have ancestors who haven't had to deal with freedom in some way. So I'm pretty greedy with my freedom today in honor of them.
You're greedy with your freedom?
Oh, yes, I am.
What does that look like?
There are things that I get to do, things that I get to say that nobody in my family were able to do without facing severe consequences. And that's my biological family and my collective family, LGBT family as well. You know, I'm pretty bold for both groups.
And you have a Stonewall story, right? You've actually been to the pub.
I wanted to see what it looked like because it might, you know, I worked a lot in the LGBT community in the 90s with the youth. And personally, I just had this imagination about what the Stonewall Inn looked like. So I got to go to New York for my first Pride in New York because, you know, that's really the first Pride. I don't care what anybody says. After the Stonewall riots on June 28, 1969, the next year people wanted to commemorate that moment, and all these gay pride, that's when gay pride parades were thrown, and June is the month for that, usually at the end of the month. So there's a whole lot of gay pride, but believe it or not, a lot of people don't know why we celebrate it in June. Anyway, so on Christopher Street, when I got to go to New York, these beautiful women asked me, so you've been in New York, what do you want to see that you haven't seen yet? And I said, I want to see Stonewall Inn. And I walked up on this place, and it's so small. I can't even imagine how riots broke out. The space is so small that you can really feel suffocated. Now, if the space is small and you have this action going on, you know, it to me is a miracle that, you know, it wasn't worse than what it was. But I was really proud to see the space. And I've done lots of research about Stonewall riots. There's so many stories about it, particularly the story. My favorite one is Judy Garland transitioned on June 22nd. And the people were sad. And so when the police came in to harass, that wasn't a good night to do it. And, you know, the whole way to say that you were gay in the 60s was, you know, repressed communities have codes. We're speaking to each other. That's whether you're Black, Latino, LGBT, whatever. And for LGBT, if you say you were a friend of Dorothy, that meant you were gay. And so it, literally in honor of Judy Garland and the Wizard of Oz, people said no more to being beat, said no more to being arrested. And the one group, and I'm going to stop, the one group that always gets neglected in this storytelling, because we've got the transgender women, we've got the effeminate men, we've got gay men, we have all of this stuff, people trying to figure out what their transgender status is. The one group that rarely gets mentioned are the homeless youth who were also involved, lived in the park on the street, and it was a powder keg. And also the mafia. A lot of gay bars, were not owned by gay people. There were organized crime ties as well. So, yeah, I thought June 28, 1969 shifted this world. And we've got a long way to go, but I don't want to hear anybody else say to me, why do you congratulate somebody for coming out as gay? I said, baby, because you don't know what we've been through. And I'm done.
I'm so appreciative of everything you just said, Celeste. It's such important history, and it's so great. I'm so glad you're saying everything you're saying.
And there's lots of research on it, too, but I'm going to give this tip that I re-remembered. Huck, for you scandal people, you gladiators, Huck, Guillermo Diaz, you want to see him in a different light? Check out the 1995 Stonewall movie where he was the lead. He turned it out. Makes Tu Wong Fu look like a joke. And it's powerful. It is so powerful. His performance in that is so powerful, and I'm proud of him. He did that in 1995, and I think that was before Angels in America or the L Word or Queer as Folk. He was on the cutting edge, and it's an easy way to step into the story if you don't feel like doing PBS. I do it all. For Stonewall, 1995. I'll put the link up later.
Thank you, Celeste.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You know, listening to Celeste and everything we've talked about and the experiences that I go through and grow through in life, this human experience, it's no joke. You know, Celeste talks about the homeless youth and, you know, even nowadays, people, I heard someone, I think it's Reverend Deborah Johnson, talked about, you know, we say the homeless people. And she was talking about how we word things and how it keeps us separate from other people. But she said, we should really consider, instead of saying homeless people, to saying people without homes. That puts a whole different context to it, because homeless people, there's a sort of way of being, oh, yeah, people live on the street. That's it. We just know what the bombs. But when we say people without homes, it inspires a question, I would think, like, people without homes, why?
That's right.
You know, and it's like, people without homes, how can there be people? But go ahead, Linda.
Well, it's absolutely true that these descriptors, how language can reflect the way that we are dehumanizing,
yes,
of ourselves and of others, how the experience of otherness happens with language, and that it requires a consciousness and an effort that is a worthy one, to take the extra time to put a couple extra words in the sentence to say people who are homeless instead of the homeless or homeless, you know, that it creates, that the language that gets used puts us in a more or less embodied state. So, you know, the comment about it begins with us as individuals is so true. This is a powerful thing, you know, just to have a consciousness best we can in a highly imperfect way. It's not about being perfect. It's not about being rigid with our expectations. It's about making a space, having an intention that we do the best that we can, the best that we can. And that's what we can do, you know, each moment, each day with breathing this kind of spaciousness and consciousness into our language, the same around the experience of slavery. If every person in America, instead of using the word slaves, said people who were enslaved, it would be a profound shift of some kind that we don't know what it would be, but there would be a lot more feeling going on about this history. Because that language invites the body and the soul to remember the people and what they experienced, and so it's great to have a moment as we come to closing of when we speak about freedom, you know, that we nurture a sense of. This is something we can do, and it can promote freedom for ourselves and for others when we speak in this way.
Yes.
Woo.
Take a breath. Breathe in and breathe it out. That's why we're here. We're here to have this conversation. And when I say we, I'm not just talking about Lisa and I. I'm talking about all of us, everybody listening. We're here to shine the light. We're here to open, make space for the truth. And I want to start a movement. When somebody tells you they're colorblind, don't attack them and say, what does that mean? Kind of like how I go off sometimes. I mean, from a place of awareness, of consciousness, just kind of ask them, what does it mean? So you get to hear what they mean underneath. And we just need to stop it. We just need to stop talking about colorblind stuff because there's not, they don't make no sense. The fact that you're blind means you're not looking at it. So that's my little movement I'm going to start today. Lisa, anything else you want to add before we release the show?
Just a bowing down with a gratitude and a feeling of humility that I'm grateful we could be with each other in our really imperfect, good enough way. So
yes, I like that. That's right.
Thank you for thank you for our time together. Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. To find out more about Lisa's work, her website address is Family Constellations West, Family Constellations West, or lisaiverson.com. She's the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul, and you're part of it. We love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we thank God for you. We are one, Carly Jackson. You can find her on Facebook. Ancestral Blueprints will be back in the end of the month in July.
Wow.
And I'll be back somewhere on the airwaves. Look for me when? Monday, I think. Yeah. The Play Experience tomorrow with Mombasa Safera. Sunday, Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. And then I'm back live. And, of course, we have the syndicated show on Friday on Within Radio. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for tuning in. Tina, Tamara, guests. Coco, Toya, and Tanya, and all the other people we can't see. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the change. Thank you for being the freedom you want to see. Peace and blessings.
I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we
Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.